Hello and welcome to The Music and the Movies, a program that looks at and listens to the sweet spot where music and movies intersect. In this hour, we ponder the special alchemy that happens when sound meets image, where music lovers and cinephiles come together. We explore a different theme in each episode, arranged around an idea or a person, and we delve into why some of our favorite movie moments are also musical ones. My name is Robert Horton. I'm a movie critic and historian and a member of the National Society of Film Critics. I'll play some music and talk about it in an attempt to get to the bottom of a lifelong fascination with why film is so especially intoxicating when music is involved. And at the end of each show, I'll round things off with the trailer, a particular cut that either didn't fit into the overall flow or has some special meaning to me or just so weird it deserves its own spot. So join us, won't you, for The Music and the Movies. Today's episode, 1971. I think this is the second time we've done an episode devoted to a specific year of the past, with the thought this time being that it might be intriguing to see what the movies sounded like about 50 years ago, and talk a little bit about the state of things in the film world back then. As befits a year that lands right in the middle of huge cultural changes, we've got a little bit of everything today. Early on, we're going to hear some fairly lush orchestral work from two film composing greats, but we'll also hear film music that is funkier, plus some that is folkier, and we'll have some vocal performances and also see what the state of the musical was at the time later in the show. Then for the trailer, when we get to the end of the show, we've got a kind of a witchy music cue from a spooky Shakespearean source. So, 1971, a year in pop culture that comes right out of some tumultuous times. And we're going to begin with a piece of music from one of the year's most controversial movies, one that tapped into the unrest of the era and sort of tested how far movies could go in subject matter and style. Also, we want to get us off to a rousing start here, so why not go with an amusing call to arms from Stanley Kubrick's A Clockwork Orange, which shocked audiences with its tale of a moral reprobate, his ultraviolence, and the state's rather disturbing rehabilitation of him. One of Kubrick's jokes in the film was using a synthesizer piece by Wendy Carlos, that pioneer of electronic music, to accompany a scene in which Malcolm McDowell engages in a little of the old in-out, as he puts it, with a couple of women he's just met, in ludicrous fast motion. Rossini's William Tell Overture gets us underway in frantic fashion. The William Tell Overture, sort of, from Wendy Carlos by way of Rossini and The Lone Ranger, I suppose, a joking musical reference in A Clockwork Orange. It's not my favorite Stanley Kubrick film, but I think you would agree that it's one of the signature films of 1971. And now that we're all awake, we said we'd look at some traditional movie scoring that was still going on despite the changing times. So let's check in on what John Barry was up to. Composer capable of jazz or big James Bond themes or lush romantic scores. Barry actually did a Bond movie in 1971, Diamonds Are Forever. I'm kind of leaving that out of our chronicle here. Shirley Bassey sings the heck out of the title song for sure, but the movie's a lesser 007 entry, I think. Instead, I would like to highlight a couple of Barry's scores from films that expanded his boundaries a little bit. The first one is one of those films that just could not have been made at any time other than the early 1970s, when, you know, the big studios were backing these odd, non-conforming projects that the new, younger audience might possibly be interested in. This one is called They Might Be Giants, and it stars George C. Scott as a psychiatric patient who believes he is Sherlock Holmes, and Joanne Woodward as a doctor whose name happens to be Watson. As it happens, this film ended up, it did not catch on with any particular kind of audience, although I think it has a cult following now. And I'm happy to recommend it to anybody who likes this era of truly oddball movies. So we're going to hear the first bit of John Barry's score. This is the main title theme of They Might Be Giants. Music by John Barry from They Might Be Giants, a film with a strong enough cult to give its name to an indie band that's been going strong for some decades now. So the other John Barry score from this year is also rather unusual, although it at least had a kind of underground success at the time. Walkabout was shot in Australia by the English director Nicholas Roeg, who would go on to make Don't Look Now and The Man Who Fell to Earth in the 70s. Mesmerizing story about two young English people lost in the outback who meet a young Aboriginal man. This film gave Barry the opportunity to devise music that is quite varied in its influences. Here's one cue. It's called The Three of Us. Catches some of the film's haunting quality. Thank you. A little bit of music from Walkabout, composed by John Barry, showing off his ability for sumptuous orchestral work there. And then the other veteran composer we're going to draw in here is Georges Delerue, who worked for decades in Europe and Hollywood and was known for his connection to the films of François Truffaut. This includes Truffaut's 1971 film Two English Girls, an adaptation of a novel by the author of Jules and Jim, which had been a success for Truffaut 10 years before. Two English Girls is not as well known as that film, but I think it's at least as good. And on the top 10 lists I publish at my website, The Crop Duster, it's my number one for 1971. And who am I to argue with my own list? Here's part of Delerue's lovely music. This is a cue called Declaration of Love. Beautiful music from François Truffaut's film Two English Girls, composed by Georges Delerue, credited with over 350 movies in his career. You're listening to The Music and the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, and we will not get to that many movies today because we are confining ourselves to movies from the year 1971. And you are asking by this point, what won the Best Picture Oscar that year? Well, it was The French Connection. And that allows us to shift gears rather violently here as we move into some cop movie music. Director William Friedkin asked the jazz trumpeter and bandleader Don Ellis, who had already moved into some avant-garde territory, to do the scoring for The French Connection. And as you will hear in this cue titled Subway, the music is like a cop movie soundtrack that's been deconstructed and reassembled.
Thank you.
That's music composed by Don Ellis from The French Connection, 1971's Best Picture Oscar winner, although the music was not even nominated. Ellis also did the music for the sequel a few years later, but did not do a lot of soundtrack work before he died in 1978 at age 44 from a heart condition. One of Ellis's random credits was scoring an episode of the TV series Mission Impossible, and that leads us to the composer of that show's memorable title music for our next cop picture. Lalo Schifrin did the score for Dirty Harry, a huge hit that had its own share of controversy that year. Clint Eastwood as the San Francisco cop who takes justice into his own hands. Here's some typical Schifrin sounds with the main title music from Dirty Harry. Music by Lalo Schifrin from Dirty Harry, the first of Clint Eastwood's films in that role. And a very cusp of the 70s sound there, I think, from the Argentina-born composer of the Mission Impossible theme, among many others. Schifrin was awarded an honorary Oscar in 2019. Although you might not remember that because they don't include the honorary Oscars in the actual televised ceremony anymore, which is one of the main things I dislike about the Oscars these days, but don't get me started on that. However, speaking of the Oscars, let us turn to the 1971 Oscar winner for Best Song. And after we listen to it, I'll try to describe what it was like to see Isaac Hayes roll out on the stage during the Oscar telecast that year to perform the theme from Shaft. The movie itself was a rarity, a box office smash, directed by an African-American, the great photographer Gordon Parks, with a score by Isaac Hayes. Meantime, here's the song in all its glory, an amazing arrangement of riffs, wah-wah guitar, orchestration, and some pressing questions from Hayes himself. That could only be the theme from Shaft, the 1971 Best Song Oscar winner, composed and performed by Isaac Hayes. You're listening to The Music of the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, talking about movie music from 1971. And let me tell you, the performance of Shaft at the Oscars was an all-timer. As you just heard, the song has a very long instrumental lead-in. So you've got all these, the production number on stage there, you've got all these enthusiastically, totally Squaresville Oscar dancers, and they're wearing bell-bottoms, and they're frugging away on the stage. And finally, eventually, you get a glimpse of Isaac Hayes rolling in, and he's sitting at a keyboard that's being pushed forward on a cart. A couple of dancers are pushing him, and this cart looks like it was taken from the Star Trek set, and there's dry ice going, and Hayes, when you get a good look at him, he's wearing these gold chains. And I don't mean necklaces, I mean big gold chains around a bare torso. And the whole thing is lip-synced, but then Isaac Hayes vanishes in a big puff of smoke at the end, and the host of the show, Sammy Davis, comes out, and he is into it. And he says, talk about heavy. And you suspect you've seen one of the greatest Oscar moments, and, well, you're damn right. By the way, Hayes was also nominated for Best Dramatic Score that year for Shaft. He did not win that one. I was curious about what else was nominated that year and what won. One of the nominees was yet another John Barry score for Mary, Queen of Scots. Actually, a very nice score. There was also Nicholas and Alexandra. Nobody remembers that one now. And Straw Dogs. And then the winner was Michel Legrand for his score for Summer of 42, a coming-of-age movie that doesn't seem to be remembered much now, but was a pretty big hit at the time, and had a top 40 instrumental single released in a very schmaltzy version. Well, one new wave in film at that time was the revising of the Western, a genre that was being reconsidered in a more critical light during this period. And the director Robert Altman made a film in 1971, McCabe and Mrs. Miller, that is a remarkable rethink of the Western, quite a beautiful film in its own way, although it does depict the grubbiness and the you know, hardship of the West. In this case, the Pacific Northwest is what we're talking about, captured in all of its damp glory. One of Altman's inspirations was to have a song score utilizing the album that he'd been listening to while they were filming the movie. And this was Leonard Cohen's first album. And so these songs become a key part of the film's tone. One such song is Cohen's classic Sisters of Mercy. That's reason enough to revisit that song now.
All the sisters of mercy, they are not departed or gone. They were waiting for me when I thought that I just can't go on. And they brought me their comfort, and later they brought me this song. I hope you run into them, you who've been traveling so long. Yes, you who must leave everything that you cannot control. It begins with your family, but soon it comes round to your soul. Well, I've been where you're hanging, I think I can see how you're pinned. When you're not feeling holy, your loneliness says that you've sinned. They will bind you with love that is graceful and green as a stem.
Sisters of Mercy, composed and performed by Leonard Cohen. I think that's one of my favorite songs. And it's part of the dense soundscape of Robert Altman's McCabe and Mrs. Miller. Another Western from 1971, much less noticed, but nearly as distinctive, I think, was The Hired Hand, directed by and starring Peter Fonda, who engaged a legendary studio musician, Bruce Langhorne, whose playing was influenced by a childhood fireworks accident that took parts of his fingers. He played with everybody, including on some of Bob Dylan's mid-60s albums. Langhorne devised a mellow score that suits this unusual, very laid-back Western. Here's a cue from the score titled Leaving Del Norte. That's music from the low-key Western, The Hired Hand, composed by Bruce Langhorne. I got to do a Q&A on stage with Peter Fonda and his co-star, Verna Bloom, when that film was restored years ago, and they were justifiably proud of this film being finally rediscovered after having fallen through the cracks for so many years. I really recommend it. Now, we turn to a composer whose work I was very taken with in my youth as a TV watcher, Billy Goldenberg, who died in 2020 after a long career doing all kinds of things, providing music for Mike Nichols and Elaine May during their improv sets, acting as a musical director for Elvis's comeback special in the late 60s, and doing a slew of TV in the 70s. And part of that slew was his music for one of the greatest of all TV movies, Duel, a riveting film about a malevolent truck chasing down a lone driver during a desert journey. It was directed by Steven Spielberg, all of 24 years old or so in 1971, and it was a thunderbolt. Goldenberg's music was part of the suspense, as you will hear in this cue titled Truck Stops. music from the TV movie Duel, composed by Billy Goldenberg. I loved that movie when I was a kid, and still do. But the Goldenberg music that really stuck with me was the scoring he did for Columbo, which was launched as a TV series in 1971. And okay, I don't want to get too deep in the weeds with my Columbo love, so I will spare you my recommendations for when to listen to Goldenberg's key themes during the Murder by the Book episode, for instance, which was also directed by Steven Spielberg. Instead, here's a little Goldenberg theme for one of the Columbo pilots. Yes, there was more than one, titled Ransom for a Dead Man, starring Lee Grant as Peter Falk's sparring partner. That is appropriately mysterious music from one of the 1971 pilot episodes of Columbo called Ransom for a Dead Man, composed by Billy Goldenberg, composer whose work has stayed in my mind ever since then. Goldenberg died in 2020 at age 85, and if you've never heard of him, it may be because that when Spielberg was about to graduate to feature films from TV work, he handed Goldenberg the script of The Sugarland Express, his first feature film, and Goldenberg said he was too busy with TV. He couldn't do it. So Spielberg got some guy named John Williams to do the music, and that has worked out pretty well since then. You're listening to The Music and the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, listening today to movie music and TV music from 1971. Well, I said at the beginning of the show that we would not forget the musical, even if that form was sort of dying in the movies at this time. You might not even think of this next film as a musical, really, first off, because it's past into the realm of beloved children's classic. But there is a lot of music in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. That spirited and a frankly very peculiar adaptation of the Roald Dahl story. So two selections from that soundtrack now, with songs composed by Leslie Bricus and Anthony Newley. First, Gene Wilder serenades us with Pure Imagination. And then for a coda, we'll hear the first iteration of the Oompa Loompa song.
Hold your breath. Make a wish. Count to three.
Come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look, and you'll see into your imagination. We'll begin with a spin, traveling in the world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation. If you want to view paradise, simply look around and view it. Anything you want to do it. Want to change the world. There's nothing to it. No life I know to compare with pure imagination. Living there, you'll be free if you truly wish to be. Simply look around and view it. Anything you want to do it. Want to change the world. There's nothing to it. There is no life I know. To compare with pure imagination, living there, you'll be free if you truly.
To me.
What do you get when you guzzle down sweets?
Eating as much as an elephant eats.
What are you at getting terribly fat?
What do you think will come of that?
I don't like the look of it.
Oompa loompa doopity-da. If you're not greedy, you will go far. You will live in happiness too. Like the oompa loompa doopity-doo.
Doopity-doo.
Two selections from the song score of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. A little of the Oompa Loompa song there, and before that, Pure Imagination, performed by the great Gene Wilder. The songs were composed by Leslie Bricus and Anthony Newley, who we've talked about before on this show. Yeah, by the way, it wasn't until Leslie Bricus died in 2021 that I realized he preferred that pronunciation of his name and not Bricus, as I've been saying it all these years. So apologies for past errors on my part. Now, the other musical that was prominent that year, although not in movie theaters, but on the TV screen, it's also sort of geared for kids, and it debuted as an animated film for television with songs composed by Harry Nilsson, whose name is pronounced Nilsson. This was The Point, which had a very nice spirit and some very nice songs, including this one, Me and My Arrow, which also became a top 40 hit.
Me and my arrow. Taking the high road. morning when I wake up, she may be gone. I don't know. And if we make up just to break up, I'll carry on. Oh, yes, I will.
The song Me and My Arrow, written and performed by Harry Nilsson, from his 1971 animated TV special, which he conceived as well as composed, The Point, a charming fable that was truly something different. And the trailer music means we're almost finished here. And it's time for one track that doesn't exactly fit with the others, although we've heard a lot of those already today somehow. But here's a piece of music from a truly unnerving adaptation of Macbeth, directed by Roman Polanski, which has a soundtrack that befits the play's subject matter and the director's unsettling approach to film. The music was devised by a London-based group called Third Ear Band, a collective of folk, jazz, and experimental musicians who didn't work much in film but sounded just the right notes for this project. Here's a creepy little track titled Wicca Way. That's Wicca, as in witchery, from Macbeth. Wow. Music from the 1971 version of Macbeth, devised and performed by Third Ear Band, and exactly weird enough to suit a tale full of sound and fury. That's an ominous note on which to end our survey of the movie music from 1971, but I hope this has delivered some of the range and, you know, out-there-ness of that transitional year, a year that goes from the traditional to the experimental, from Shakespeare to Shaft. We will go out with something wacky, one of the hundreds of movie scores from the great Italian composer Ennio Morricone. This one, a cue titled March of the Beggars from Sergio Leone's film Duck, You Sucker. A track and movie just crazy enough, as you will hear immediately, to fit our strange year under discussion. I'm Robert Horton. I thank you for listening to The Music and the Movies. Thank you.
Thank you.